I was repeatedly groped when I saw Sleep No More by, because everyone's wearing an anonymous mask. I don't know happened, but people kept touching my butt and stuff, and it was honestly a very negative experience. Not the actors, just like random people in the theater.
I thought I had such a good experience because I just had handfuls of that throughout the whole the whole experience.
I've seen 14 times. I've never had. Why am I not getting? Where's my envelope?
Yeah,
I've been doing it all wrong.
Welcome to Oops All Segments, the very best podcast hitting your eardrums at this very moment. I'm Kevin.
I'm Thomas, and today we are here with very special guest, one of the funniest people in the world. You know him from the Umbrella Academy and other Canadian comedy classics. This is Ken Hall.
Welcome, what's
Ken.
Happening, everyone?
You said you fact check me if I...
You literally just asked, like, how do I want to be introduced? I did not give consent. To be the funniest person in the world, I feel like.
Sorry, Thomas. We meant self-proclaimed funniest person in the world.
Yeah. It was a pretty big shoes. That's a big swing right out of the gate, but I'll try and live up to that. Here we go.
Yeah, don't ask me, but according to him, one of the funniest people.
Can you Wikipedia that right now? Just put it on there.
You know him from the classic show, The Kens in the Hall.
Well, when I created comedy back in 1974, I made the first
guy who ever took a fall, right?
Well, congratulations. So I'm glad to have you on. Glad to have you on.
So excited to have you.
We are. We're very excited to have you on. Ken, usually we start off the show with a bit of a check-in, so
He's pausing and then speeding up really quick, and then, but all in silence. I love the homage to the very Charlie Chaplin.
Interesting. So, I think he asked you what's been going on in your life.
I love the first question.
I'm just going to fill in for Kevin this episode.
Thomas, you'll be my translator for the episode, please.
I'm good. I'm doing really good, actually. Yeah, I was in Tucana. Dominican Republic last week, actually. my friend Wayne Jones, who I also another improviser from here in Toronto, and that's
how
we came to meet Kevin, is that we did the Winnipeg Improv Festival back, was it October,
right? I think.
Yeah, and so me and Wayne went. Anyways, we were there, not together, but he was also down in Dominican Republic at the same time. So one of the improv guys that I performed with here in Toronto quite often was also in Dominican. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Cool. I was there for 7 days in Punta Cana, Bavara Beach. Oh. Lovely stuff. It was great to feel and see sun. Again, I'm in Toronto.
Yeah.
And guys, I usually sunburn. I'm very fair skinned. My background's in Scottish. And so I'm like, this is dangerous for me to expose myself to that much sun.
You're playing with with fire, literally.
Spontaneously combust. But I didn't burn this time. I was really quite proud of myself. Yeah. I just, sunscreen.
Congratulations.
And can I say you have a noble golden hue now? There's kind of a halo.
It's the sunscreen. I can't off. I've tried.
It has to be stated. It has to be stated just that, like, that is Thomas and I have been friends for a really long time. Ken, I'm half brown and I'm half Caucasian, and Thomas has never described me as having a noble golden hue.
Oh, that goes into Lincoln.
I like to speak of your somewhat insidious.
Insidious. Wow.
White people. Oh man, insidious tint. That's good. I like that. That sounds like a character. That's
put
that
on your
LinkedIn character name.
That's a great description.
It's an Instagram filter. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. insidious tint. It's very good. Thomas, what's up with you, man? How are you, bud?
What's going on with old Tommy boy? The question on everyone's mind.
Make it good, because I don't have much. So.
Me I can either. Go again if you guys
recorded an episode yesterday.
Yeah, we'll cycle back.
Can you actually hop
around.
In? What's going on with you? Did the whole DR thing. What else? What else? Maybe you could talk about Wayne Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about his rims.
Yeah.
He did.
He did talk about his rims when he was on the show.
They were epic, man. If no one knows, this is the thing that's sweeping the country now. Thomas, man. Life is good in Chicago.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, things are good. Look, I found a hack for the healthcare system, which is telehealth. We don't have good healthcare here in America, but you can pretty cheaply, if you have like basic insurance, just call in, get on a Zoom call with a doctor for like a minute, give them a vague description of your symptoms, and they'll just prescribe you something after doing no medical tests.
Okay.
So I'm on antibiotics because I have, I think, a bacterial infection. Like I had a cold and it's lingered. And so I got some Z-Pak. And I have to say, after like 2 days, it has made a huge difference. My head is drained. I feel like much better, much more focused.
Literally, we recorded yesterday and you were shit, honestly, like on the record. Folks will know from like the week before.
Yeah, listen to the Brad Hild episode. Sorry.
Yeah.
But like medicine doesn't work that fast. But
disappointing.
I pulled out all the stops for you, Ken. I was like, I need to be well.
I appreciate it. I appreciate every. This is a testament to, what is it? To Zempac? What is it? What is it called? Z-Pak.
Thomas took Ozempic.
Man, I got rid of my cold, man. I lost weight and I got rid of my cold.
We're sponsored by Ozempic. Yeah.
Product placement just in the back, you know?
I am on every medicine Trump is on. That's like the same exact.
You call it the cold cocktail. Man. No, I'm doing all right myself. I'm feeling actually pretty healthy. I worked out today, which I haven't done in forever. So I actually worked out today, which I don't do.
What did you do? How much did you lift?
Yeah, I did some kettlebell swings, and I did some elliptical.
Nice.
I saw a video that implied that I would be better at running. If I did kettlebell swings and worked on breathing to help like get better at my oxygen flow in my body. I know nothing about working out. This is the most like workout-y I've ever spoken in my entire life. But I'm trying something out with that and seeing if it helps. Because
your esophagus, Kevin?
No, what do you call my esophagus?
Call it the aux cord, because it's kind of how you get oxygen into your lung. Kind of a big aux cord in your throat. And like if you're in a car, you might say, pass me the aux cord.
Is that an American medical term? The aux cord? There's a pill for that, I believe, right?
I was just kidding. Ken, when I said I was at 100%, no. That was not true. That was not the case.
There are some side effects.
Yeah, not at all. Not in the slightest. I had something I wanted to bring up, and it might be a bit of an issue because my connection's obviously clearly horrible today.
Yeah, this is one of the worst records we've ever done.
Yeah, for sure. I'm gonna. So Ken, obviously, you've spent some time working on a show for a while now, known as the Umbrella Academy. And I wanted to ask you, sort of, get your take on a few things here. I was just curious,
school, Ken.
Yeah, what you thought of perhaps the Davik Elite Umbrella versus like the Totes Auto Open Wood Stick.
Don't move so fast here. Okay,
here's the real game here, though.
Give them a chance to respond.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, you can't go wrong with the Davik. The Davik Elite is pretty, it says classic as well. And you can't go wrong with 4.4. They're both rated 4.4. However, the previous one had many more ratings. So if you want to flick back not to shade any of the Davik, but the Totes, is like 4,000.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Yeah, yeah, that's way more.
Seems
yeah.
like you maybe work at the Amazon yeah, yeah. Academy. You just know how to read a product page. Yeah.
And it's also a lot cheaper.
This is another option.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, I also, this is just Ken speaking, but I believe that, you know, you kind of get what you pay for as well. And I got, you know, okay. we got some wins yeah. here in Toronto, down Chicago, Thomas. I'm sure you could. You know, that thing is not going to last. That's, yeah, Windy City, man.
No. Named yeah. not mm-mm. for the air quality, but for the bloviating nature of our politicians. Windbags.
Yeah, I don't trust this one. The Valley is not even open. You know, they're showing the little, yeah, that's
yeah,
not even
open. In the yeah. picture, it's very
although I do like the handle. That's a cool handle. So, look at that, sort of burgundy.
Kevin, the very first one, and this is our warm-up segment now.
Yeah.
What's it called, Kevin?
Yeah, what did you ask me with the first one, Thomas? Sorry.
I just wanted to go back to it. I also didn't hear you if you named the segment. What did you call it?
I did. Here's what I said. I said I own one of these umbrellas.
You own the Davac?
I own one of them. I'd like you guys to try and figure out which one it is that I own. Specifically Ken, because he is, you know, right. For lack of a better term, a member, a graduate.
Uh-huh,
something.
Yeah,
the umbrella
yeah, yeah. All yeah. right.
I've never seen an episode of the show, but this is what I think it's about,
right?
It's
just 60 minutes of going through her umbrella reviews. Yeah, and be like, oh, that one's nice.
Thank you so much for coming on. We didn't do any research.
Yeah.
Musician Gerard Way, known for his love of umbrellas.
On the show, I actually become an umbrella. I am the umbrella, actually. They have another person plays the Academy, but they're much more talented than I am.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. You might know him from The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. It's Ken Hall.
I think this one is a bit too high. This one's a bit $160 for an umbrella. I feel like that's not
okay.
That's not Kevin. Yeah.
So we're going to say no to the Davic.
Like, okay. No matter how nice the umbrella is, you're going to leave it on the train at some point, right? You can't spend $160 on an umbrella.
Okay, so we don't think I bought the Davic. You guys think I'm not going in for
the
Davic
there.
Okay.
I kind of lean towards this.
Do you think I got the totes auto open wood stick umbrella?
Although I don't know if you would have that handle. Okay. I don't know if that really is a Kevin handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say I don't think you do the curved like hooky thing. No. Yeah.
Okay. You should, you and my girlfriend would disagree, but that's all right.
What the fuck? So graphic. Why? Wow. For no reason. Let's move on to the Lewis and Clark automatic, you sick.
Well, I gotta say, this is probably, if I was to take a guess, I might just say that this.
Yeah.
It's the $22 one. You think I bought the cheapest one?
Yes. Is Winnipeg very windy? I don't remember it being ever.
We actually have the windiest intersection, I think, in North America.
Oh,
isn't that right, T?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's at least in Canada, Portage and Maine is the windiest intersection in Canada, maybe North America, maybe the world, actually.
All right. Settle down with your
Portage and Maine.
Let's get some actual facts up here. You just Googled Portage and Maine with no other keywords.
It's minus one right now. Oh, things you might not know. Okay. Portage and Maine. Downtown. Okay. History. Great.
By the way, would love to start the show whenever you're ready with your bullshit.
So it's Canada. It's Canada. Anyway, I own the Balios, the one that you can't see.
Okay, we
I own this
saw
one.
The last umbrella.
Yeah, well, the last one's
the Balios.
This is the one I have.
This also is a good.
This is the one I have.
I feel like, again, stylish handle. Yeah. I could see. That's what I was saying earlier. I'm like, I don't see with the point or the curvy handle, but I can see Kevin walking around the Balios.
And I mean, realistically, if one of them is going to be shaped like my member, it's probably this one. So there's that.
And shaped
the video.
Jesus Sorry, it's a noble golden hue, actually, Ken.
Insidious tint.
Insidious tint. That's how I'm doing. Should we dip
Wait,
in for a
quick one?
Which
one was it?
It was the Balios, the hidden one.
It was the one. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's
so how much did it cost?
Oh, on there it said it cost like $65, which I definitely did not spend $65 on an umbrella, but I probably spent like $40.
So we got it right.
I feel like.
We guessed right. Yeah. Nice one.
Yeah. Huge for us.
You guys win the segment.
Yay. We should be like police, you know, psychologists, kind of like understanding crimes. You know, like, yeah, that was kind of easy, really. I mean, you should protect, that was a breeze, really.
Protect.
Yeah. It was so easy.
Give us a challenge.
Like, I feel like I could identify a murderer.
I have never experienced a worse internet connection in my entire life than what I am trying to do this episode with. This is truly horrific. Thomas,
could you try to just lean into it? Because, you know, like, Ken and I, we understand a thing or two about comedy, and, like, it's actually the obstacles that bring the laughter. So if you try to fight against this, you know, like, try to fix your internet connection, try to, like, take a 5-minute break so you can resolve it. There's no way that we're going to keep up this high octane level of content.
Okay. Even in that advice that you were giving me, it glitched out like three or four times. I didn't hear phrases.
And now's the time.
Oh, gosh.
This sucks, dude. Ken's a great guest. Supposed to be happy to have me. This is insane. I don't know what's going on. Kevin, when you raise your volume, I got no idea.
It's got to be very sudden movement.
And stay still.
Yeah. The bandwidth is picking up on your elevated heart rate, and it can't.
I need meditation. Calm down.
Yes, there you go.
I checked with Bell MTS, and their modems can smell fear, so I think it might be that. You have to somehow remain even keel. Let's spin the wheel and keep it going, because, we don't totally need Kevin.
Don't say that, right? I was looking at the segments, and I know one of them is leave the show, so maybe we will get lucky, and I'll have to leave.
Number 90, the 12 rules for strife. So I think this is inspired by incredibly offensive Canadian professor Jordan Peterson's book, The 12 Rules for Life. So we're going to write kind of our own version.
All right.
The 12 rules for strife.
Okay. We can help people.
So, yeah.
Sort of
when we think of strife, you know, as opposed to life, is this rules for conflict kind of like Sun Tzu's The Art of War?
Oh, okay. How are we thinking of rules for strife?
Yeah.
I feel like if you want, like, you know, of course, like, tenets of overcoming strife are things like adversity, you know, things like resiliency.
Yeah.
So I think, like, we want like, you know, the first rule should be like something about perseverance, something like never take no for an answer.
Yes, and.
Nothing problematic about that at all.
I'm going to say no to that one. Like,
maybe that's like 13, you know, maybe that's a bit down the list, because I'm like everything.
Okay.
A little hot out of the gates.
No, I'm gonna.
Okay, how about okay? I got it.
Sure.
No, there's no such thing as boundaries.
Oh,
ooh,
much worse. They're very much in the same.
So maybe here's what I think we should do. Let's put Kevin in the timeout box. We'll start fresh. Ken, let's get that first rule for strife from you, and we'll kind of hit the ground running.
For strife, I a couple things come to mind. I'll say this one, actually. Talk about it. Yeah. Okay. You're experiencing some strife. You got to share it. It can be very inwardly, you know, and people kind of bottle it all up, right? But you got to get it out there.
That's kind of beautiful, yeah. You need somewhere to go. I love that. Okay, let's lock that in. And then I'll go next, I guess, number two. You know, think before you speak, Kevin.
Is that specific to Kevin?
You're next. No, sorry, I meant Kevin, you're next.
The piece
was maybe misleading.
I thought there was a comma almost.
It felt like there was a... before you speak, Kevin. You're up next. Okay.
Maybe that was the lag or something I picked up on.
Yeah, but my connection's fine.
Okay. So I think like, you guys didn't like it. Okay. I didn't have the, I've got it. Like,
he's frozen. Oh.
You matters.
It did freeze. It freeze
again.
I was like, oh man. Okay.
Let me try again.
All we heard
was you matter. That's great. Let's put it down. That's number three. Put
even
down. Matter.
Even the internet is trying to censor
you. Matter.
No
matter
way.
For number
no.
Three.
Damn.
What is it? You matter.
No. The all listeners right, at home will number know four. Because I'll be coming to clear on their end. So this is fucked.
That's true. Yeah.
It's fucked.
Yeah.
I think it's always good to have a good support system as well. So, like, who are the people in your network that you can share? I feel like that is a good one. Put down.
Yeah. How about loving others starts with loving
yourself?
It's cliched,
but yeah, I like that, Thomas. That's good.
I don't know that it is. I think that it's a cliche in that we
that
take
is very
it
true.
For granted.
That is very true.
It's a little cliche.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sort of a chicken eggy thing. How do you?
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that you so quickly shot it down, Ken, makes me worry that you don't love yourself.
Yeah.
Why would you be so hostile to my wonderful idea? he's coming for you.
Yeah. I have been worried. Ken is a very physically imposing comic, and he a lot of the comedy that Ken does is physical, and so I was worried about straining him to a window on a screen, how that would what that would result in, and clearly it hasn't imposed on him in any way. He's still totally able to attack
so,
you.
Look, they're not all going to be winners, but we're going to keep mine in.
I like that. It's
okay. Kevin, number six, rule for strife.
Okay, yeah. The sixth rule for strife. I think like perhaps, I think we'll say, backstabbing is always an option. I think
really nasty.
Yeah,
just so negative.
Oh,
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you know, people.
It's always like.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's not people like wait. Oh, you know, don't stabbing in the back like it's some like betrayal thing or something. But
the
I think like really.
Yeah, the question that comes into my mind is, like, who hurt you? You know, that's kind of what I'm thinking, like...
Like me, personally?
Yeah,
who hurt me?
Who hurt you? Where
no,
is this coming from?
Nobody could hurt me. Nobody but me matters, and nobody could hurt me. So I'm totally... I consider myself very zen. This is why I think, like, it's not a great idea for us to be, like, shooting down my ideas. I know...
He's frozen
again. Fuck! This with this reconnection,
like,
man!
One of his biggest points as
you
well.
God!
It's like watching someone have a breakdown under a strobe light. Yeah. Like, you can only see.
And weren't you saying something about being zen, Kevin? Where's
this
the zen?
Ridiculous!
Shit! He just broke a frame.
Oh, no.
I broke. I saw the.
He's frozen again. The anger.
The glass came out.
I mean,
trying to do a show.
You gotta watch the video for this one, y'all. This is.
Is I've never really seen a meltdown on StreamYard before.
Yeah, it's
this didn't even happen. This didn't even happen in the pandemic, man. We got through that. We just can't get through this.
Yeah, when you bottle it up as long as Kevin has.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna sleep so well tonight, man. You're just gonna get all of this.
I'm looking forward to it.
Is Richard Kevin going completely off the grid, like moving into the woods?
No one hears from me. This podcast never comes out.
Suspicious of all people. Like, you know, like.
Fully hermited away. I'll never lag again. I'll never lag again.
So Look, I hate to say it. We're only halfway through this segment. We have six more to come. So to maybe mix it up, how about the next three are going to be a quote?
Oh, that's good.
From like famous either books or film or TV or song lyrics.
Okay.
Just to liven it up.
Sure.
What could be our rule seven? That's a famous and iconic quote, a rule for strike.
Oh, man.
It can be a metaphor.
I think, I think I just sort of obviously went and was very clear. So, I'll take a look at a couple people I sort of look up to here and see if.
Starting to worry this is going to look a lot like the other 12 rules for life because Kevin's looking up his heroes. JBP is probably first on that list.
For me, I'm like, I really like a lot of quotes by Dr. Seuss. Yeah. I feel like it's so simple and.
Sorry, by who?
Dr. Seuss, an author.
Oh, okay.
I have one actually up in my bathroom. Saying like, like, will I succeed? ? And the response is along the lines of yes, 99.89% you will succeed kind of thing. It's just lovely that it's kind of like you will succeed and like the effort, you know, you never really fail.
Yeah.
And it's playful. It's fun.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I like that. That's really nice. It's interesting. I have, I also look to a doctor. I'll say the quote first, sort of, pain. That is.
He's gone, man. That's just pain. That's her pain.
Just the word pain.
Dot, dot, dot. Yeah, now that I think about it, man. Pain. That's right. Life is pain, man. Put it down.
Kevin quoting from Dr. Doom.
Quoting Dr. Doom. That's who I was quoting. Pain that is for lesser men. From this day on, I know no pain. Dr. Doom.
I was really worried Kevin was going to quote from one of the racist Dr. Seuss books, but unfortunately didn't pull that out.
I've also got this here from somebody I think is so that was Dr. Doom. So we've got Ken in there. That was number seven, I guess, right? And then I had number eight. Thomas, do you want to give us number nine?
Yeah. So I also have selected a doctor.
Wow.
Dr. Medical professionals.
Jill Biden. Let's see.
It froze when you said who the doctor was, so I'm a mystery. This is going to be so hard to edit. I am going to have such a fucking hard time editing this episode. This is just pain for me. Agony.
I think just keep your broken record from StreamYard so that everyone gets our experience, which has been very funny.
I'll keep my StreamYard shitty video quality. And that's what I'll do.
This quote is from Dr. Jill Biden. She said, "There were times when I actually prayed not to get married." So, you know, kind of a pretty mean thing to say.
I prayed not to get married.
My president and yours.
Yes.
Joe Biden.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that's how she feels. It's interesting that's how she feels. Ken, do you have something? Do you have one to round us?
I do. And this is by another doctor, Dr. McGraw, Dr. Phil McGraw. 80% of all questions are statements in disguise. 80% of all questions are statements in disguise.
You're a big fan of the percentage point quotes.
Number crunching. That's how I understand.
Rule 9, 80%.
Yeah, they're speaking to me.
Just a statistic.
I feel seen.
Yeah. Of course, I think the person to maybe look to mostly would be, I'm only a product, like a cake of soap. to be sold as well as possible. That is from Charles Bronson.
Dr. Charles Bronson, yes.
Dr. Charles Bronson, famed British inmate.
Charles Bronson. You may be the...
I think he was like a murderer. I think.
Oh, was it?
I think he killed people.
Deathwish. He was the vigilante.
Yeah. Oh, there we are. There we are. Yeah.
Which actually made a series.
And also, movies. I think he was played by Tom Hardy.
He was the later one, yeah. But it was Charles Bronson who originated that role. Yeah. Yeah, classic. Mm, yeah.
There you go.
The fancy mustache.
Yeah, there you are. There you are. Yep. Fancy mustache. That's why I look up to him. That's why
I look up to little, so Thomas. There's a resemblance there.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Dude, thank you for telling me I resemble Charles Bronson. Yeah.
Imagine that. Death Wish 4, Charles Bronson.
Not even the early ones, just the later. Just Charles Bronson.
Like, gunning down, like, unarmed.
Like, yeah, you look like a broken man. He's got a lot of rage inside of him. Hunger man.
I don't, why would you, well, what do you mean by that? What
the thing, man, is you broke your wall. You
smashed a beloved memory that we shared.
Yeah, you're doing it again.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's close out 12 Rules for Strife. I tried to look up a quote by another doctor, Dr. Scholes.
Talk about support.
Of the comfy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Google has led me astray, but I'm going to read the quote anyway. It says, I will cling to the rope God has thrown me in Jesus Christ, even when my numb hands can no longer feel it. Not sure if that is Dr. Scholes.
I had no idea. Maybe his footwear is very uplifting.
Wow,
very,
Doc.
Inspiring stuff.
Yeah, that's. This is all top grade medical advice. Please follow it. Please.
I'm glad we finished with that one. I feel like you can't top that. That's a pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the way to go.
There's nothing higher than the Lord after all. And with that, let's go to a break.
Yeah.
Webster's Dictionary defines podcast as a domesticated, odd-toed, hoofed mammal with a great affinity for oats.
That's a horse.
Oh, right.
But we are a podcast, and we're called Roommate Lovers.
We do advice questions such as, why is my roommate using my toothbrush?
How do I flirt without being creepy?
Why are you using my toothbrush?
I told you, I just couldn't find mine that
Gross.
Day. We live together and are together, which is why we call the show Roommate Lovers.
We're roommate and lover. We're roommates and lovers.
Well said.
Gross. Find new episodes of Roommate Lovers on Mondays wherever you podcast.
Now that's a podcast of a different color.
You mean horse?
Yes, of course.
And we are back. Thomas, Ken, I am not glitching anymore for a while. We'll see. I think I reset my connection. I have no fucking idea.
You look great.
I feel great. I'm feeling amazing. I have a slight suspicion my video might not be recording now, but who cares? Who gives a shit? Who knows? Ken, do you have a segment for us?
Well, I did some traveling recently.
Yeah.
And I'm always a big fan of like staycations and getting away if you can get away. And I've learned so much about the world. And that was really actually through improv. Doing like improv. Festivals, for example, like kind of like all over.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to get to go to places that I would never normally get a chance to go. And so I don't know, maybe I'd love to do a segment that's travel related.
Okay.
And whether that be like bucket list or like places that you'd want to go or like a travel blogish kind of thing that we can unpack a place or a destination.
Okay.
That maybe listeners would, you know, really got to.
Yeah.
You know,
drive the listenership. That's the key.
That's the key.
So, yeah, whatever segment, travel segment's going to get us the most clicks. That's what we want to do. No, I get you. Maybe we can talk about sort of like a bucket list or dream vacation kind of idea here. I kind of like that. Mm. There's a few places I'd love to go, but I honestly, moreover, would love to experience going on a trip with like a decent sized group of friends. That's like my close friends. I would really like to to have like the majority of my like improv group, for example, go somewhere and do a show somewhere and actually
like a comedy festival.
Yeah. Maybe. Like we haven't done that yet.
Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That would be great to come. Are you sort of planting seeds, Thomas? Is that,
it would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you've never presented us with an opportunity to perform there. So.
No, I'm not very well connected. In some ways, if they knew I was involved, there would be a black mark on your application.
I see.
How long have you been in Chicago for, Thomas?
Been here a little over 5 years.
So he should have some connections. Sure, it's his fault.
He's an active, just getting my foot in the door.
He's
an
active performer too.
Like soon I'm gonna.
It's playing the long con, you know?
Yeah.
Five more years.
I've applied to be an intern at all the improv theaters every year so that I can take 101 for free. They won't accept me.
My What's cover the reason letter, they won't accept you?
My cover letter is very profane, is what they keep saying.
A lot of no's, a lot of blocking.
Like that. Yeah.
They say... You have a colorful vocabulary is kind of the response that I get.
Yeah. They say that they've actually described your vocabulary as having an insidious tint. I understand.
I do, in sincerity, I think having it may not be Chicago, but there are lots of comedy festivals around the U.S. and abroad. There's a group in Sweden that Kim knows, and it would be fun if Club Soda could take a trip and just do one of them so that we could all kind of travel together and do some shows somewhere else. It would be great.
It would be a blast. Yeah. No, it'd be nice. So that's sort of my dream vacation, honestly, Ken, is kind of the things you've described doing, is traveling, doing some improv. I want to live the life of Ken Hall.
Yeah. I want to eat bucket what list. You eat. Sleep where you sleep.
I want to be in Punta Cana watching Wayne get too messed up on stories of improv, trying to inspire people and having him throw me around the stage unwillingly or not.
You know? What was it last time?
Were spun like a spit roast above
me. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was it Winnipeg or was that Edmonton?
That was the first time I'd ever performed with you and Wayne, and it was
what
like
spit roast.
I didn't know Ken very well, and I didn't know Wayne very well, and we started doing a scene, and in the scene, I came out to mime some fire, which had been Ken was supposed to be being spit roasted on, but I thought Ken was just going to stand like nearby, sort of, oh no, look at me. And then Wayne came and scooped Ken up and started flipping him in sort of a barrel roll type.
Quite
of...
vigorously, too.
Yeah.
And
so I'm like underneath Ken thinking like, if this guy falls on me, I got to catch him. Yeah. Like, I don't have like Wayne is a big, strong guy. I'm not that worried, but you know, Ken can slip. I don't know.
What did the consent check-in look like? Yeah,
that's a very good question. I'm not sure if that happened. We may have foregone that chat at the beginning.
Yeah. So that is
it all happened so quickly too. I'm like, what is that?
I mean, sounds incredible and also very dangerous.
So that's what I want to do. I want to live that life. I want to travel and do improv with my buddies. That's you know, I have like a couple of places I'd really like to go. To Greece. People talk about how beautiful Greece
is. Yeah.
I'd really like to go to Greece. I'd like to go back to New Orleans. I'd like to show my partner New Orleans. I think Kara would really love it. It's one of my favorite places. I want to go view some, there's specific installations. I want to go view, I don't love Las Vegas. I've been there before, but I want to go to Omega Mart, which is.
I want to go to Vegas. I want to go to Vegas. That's on my bucket list.
Have you never been to Vegas?
I've never been to Vegas. And I'm like, you know how like in you live your life and there's like little clues that if you hear, you know, little signals that, you know, and I've just been hearing stories and like little things have been popping up in my universe where I'm like, all signs point to Vegas, and I'm like, there's such a curiosity that I have to experience this. I've never been there. I'm not a gambler, but I'm fascinated by casinos, and
it's
It's pretty much just an adult theme park that's focused on drinking and gambling and like consumerism, you know,
right.
And it's not like, I mean, it's what you think it's going to be. But if you go in with that, and like, I'm not a big drinker. When I went, I wasn't a huge drinker. I'd already kind of stopped my party lifestyle, and I just found it to be like a fun place that was neat and actually relatively affordable if you know what you're doing. Like, it's easy to spend a stupid amount of money in Vegas, but you can actually have an okay time, and like, there's happy hours if you're still looking for that. But there's good food, obviously, and I will say there's also like a lot of cities in America, like all these big tourist cities, like right adjacent to all the tourism is like a staggering amount of poverty. So it is like it isn't always all sunshine and rainbows in Las Vegas.
But I'm so fascinated by that, you know, that difference, that dichotomy of like status, and they live so close together, and like,
I mean, you experienced that a lot in LA, right, T? Like, because that's huge there.
LA and Chicago, I mean, and Winnipeg, let's be honest.
A lot of
like, too, I'm sure just Toronto too, probably. Cities, like, being class divide, racial divide as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
what about you? What's your bucket list? What's your bucket list of cities that have poverty and racial divides?
Yeah, when I hear the word staggering,
and do they have an improv festival?
When I hear the word staggering poverty, I want to go on Expedia right away.
That's one of the filters. Staggering poverty.
Oh yeah.
All inclusive. Yeah. Staggering poverty.
Seems like I can. Oh, this Airbnb just displaced a family. Amazing.
Jesus
People
Christ.
Used to live here.
Well, that's my thing about Airbnbs as well. Like, I was in New York City back in, what was it, end of February? Mm-hmm. End of January, something like that. And my favorite show is closing, Sleep No More.
We actually saw it together,
yeah.
Hey, that's so great. Yeah. I'm going back at the end of next month.
Okay.
To stay in New York City is a fortune. You need to, like it's impossible. And like Airbnbs and such, I'm like, how do you justify charging that much amount of money for like a night or two? Like, your place does not.
It baffles me that there's enough humans out there to sustain an economy where that's a reasonable price for someone to offer it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, it's one thing if someone's just trying to like gatekeep people out and say like, I don't want to usually maintain this. But it's another thing. It's like, oh, yeah, most people are willing to pay $750 a night to stay here. And you're like, why? What do you mean? Like,
it's a lot of like, imagine wealthy tourists from like
other
Europe
places.
And Asia, and people kind of coming in to see Times Square that just have tons of money to drop on a. It's wild.
When we stayed in New York, Thomas, we like your like cousin like hooked us up with like an incredible hotel or something. Remember, we were like,
Because she worked for a hotel company.
Some like really new hotel had like opened like a month before we got there, and Thomas's cousin gave us like an incredible deal on this. Like, so like we slept on the floor part of it, but it was like,
Why did you sleep on the floor?
There was too many of us. There was too many of us in the room.
We eased into one room.
Yeah.
Sleep No More, indeed. But I gotta say about Sleep No More, we went there and I was repeatedly groped when I saw Sleep No More because everyone's wearing an anonymous mask. I don't know happened, but people kept like touching my butt and stuff, and it was honestly a very negative experience. Not the actors, just like random people in the theater.
I thought I had such a good experience because I just had handfuls of ass throughout the whole the whole experience.
I've seen 14 times. I've never had. Why am I not getting? Where's my handful of ass?
Yeah, you've seen it 14 times. 14 times. What's been your favorite part of the experience?
Yeah, have you discovered any of those private experiences that really?
Oh man! I cracked the code, guys. I have cracked the code. So, Sleep No More is 5 floors, 100 rooms, and it's about a 3-hour show that goes on a 45-minute cycle. So it goes 3 times a night. So
and it's a silent show, right? It's movement mostly.
Yes. Yeah, it's mostly movement, a cross between Shakespeare's Macbeth and Alfred Hitchcock's Rebecca, the blending of the two. Very supernatural, occultish, very kind of like dangerous and sexy at the same time. And it's immersive, meaning that it's self-directed, so you go anywhere that you want.
Yeah.
And you can follow the actors, or you can like just go and like rifle through drawers, whatever you want to do. But the thing that I've been chasing for a long time, because I used to go to like New York City like once a year type of thing, and it was like, oh, I'll go see Sleep No More. And they have a sixth floor, and it's a secret floor. Ooh. That only a few people are allowed up every performance. Oh. And it's this mythical thing that I'm like, I've come close on a number of occasions, but...
How do you really know that you've come close?
Because I
read they like, get you close online to the door, and then they're just like, no, I'm sorry, man.
Well, here's one of the hacks, guys. If, like, if you're let into it in the elevator, they'll, and there's like a, like right before you go in, they give you your mask, and then you're let into this tiny room where they give you your mask, and then you step into an elevator. And then there's like an elevator operator who's kind of like, hey, Noel, everything, you know, things are not what it appears here kind of thing, you know, adding to the secret, everything. And then the elevator's going up. You're in a basically a freight elevator, and it's very dark inside. And so quite often the doors will open. This happened the first time me and Isaac went, my comedy partner and best friend Isaac. we were the last two people on. The doors open, and like Isaac came like he just went barreling out. And then I'm like, I'm going to follow, and I get stuck on something. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm stuck in an elevator. I don't, and I look down, and my brain was trying to compute. I see someone's arm, like holding me back. And I'm
it's
like, what
Wayne?
The hell? He picks you up, starts flipping you around. No!
Human spit no more. Yeah. and then by then, like, the elevators close.
Wow. Okay.
And so they often do that. Now, quite often they'll let people off on the fifth floor, but on the odd occasion, the elevator operator will actually go to the sixth floor and drop that one person off, where it's a one person for the entire floor. It's you and only one other actor. And it is one of the best immersive experiences. It's very kind of freaky and terrifying, and it's exhilarating, and cool. I know how to do it now.
Okay,
in two different ways. I've done it three times now.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And it's the best, man.
That's cool. It's you know, I thought it was a lot of fun when we went. I thought like I was a little, there was things about it I didn't like. I was also a snobby young theater guy who thought he knew everything about theater.
Sure.
And now, as like a big immersive theater buff, as like an alternate reality guy, I like things like that. So the scale of the show alone is so impressive to me. And I got like a few little experiences. I got to play like a weird little card game with somebody and take a shot of alcohol.
Yeah.
And like, I had a really good time. One thing that did happen, I may have told the story on the podcast, so I'll try to breeze through the details. But during the seance part, like the ritual, with like the goat's head and the weird like rave dancing and stuff, where like there's like nudity. There's like, they use blood, right? They use stage blood in it. And I got stage blood on me during the performance. There was like a point at which it got onto my shirt and stuff. And so we came, coming back from the performance, myself and Thomas and a previous guest and friend of the show, Justin, were coming back. The three of us had gone to see it, and then our friend Dan and another friend AJ had gone to see a different show. They went to see, I think, Wicked that night, or the Book of Mormon or something. So we came into the apartment and decided it would be a good idea to convince our friends that I had been stabbed in New York City. And it worked, kind of, which was not fun.
Remember earlier when Kevin was talking about backstabbing?
I guess so.
The most literal version of that.
Exactly. I need people to understand that backstabbing is always an option.
Backstabbing, front stabbing, side stabbing.
It doesn't matter where from. Yeah.
Just got to get that stab in.
The story that fake really blood, well on us.
That fake blood is like chocolate sauce.
It is chocolate sauce.
In that moment where it's like all that, the rave stuff is happening, it's like, I smell chocolate.
You've gone 14 times. You now have like a weird Pavlovian connection, I assume.
That's my dessert, you know.
when you're cracking the code, are you doing research online? Is it like an escape?
A little bit. I was back there. So the what brought me back there was that a friend and I had gone at the end of sometime in November, because the pandemic and everything. It had been almost like 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Since I'd last been there. So I'm like, I got to go back to, you know, Sleep No More. And, you know, I love New York City. There's so much to see and do there. And the night before I went, my friend, I went online just to, you know, refamiliarize myself with it and also to find out a little bit of info about like other opportunities to get to the sixth floor. And there is one other way. There is a woman in black who has a suitcase that if you see this particular person on the fifth floor at a particular time, then that person, if you're selected, because again, it's not everyone, it's like you gotta kind of get into like the actor's vision, you know, field of view in that sense, and kind of, you know, be eager, you know, like,
yeah.
And sure enough, this is actually a beautiful story, because I had gone with my friend in the elevator thing, and I was like, I told my friend, I'm like, I'm gonna be that first person out of the elevator, you know, I'm going to the sixth floor. And then the elevator operator was like, is anybody here feeling particularly bold? And inside I'm like, yeah, me. But I didn't raise my hand. I didn't say anything.
Oh.
I paused. And another person was like,
you hesitated.
Yeah. I hesitated.
Yeah.
And then that person chose that other guy. And I'm like, and I was like so pissed off at myself.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Man, I always do this. I give other people space. I sort of erase myself. Person. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And again, making space for other people is great, but sometimes too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, that was something that I'd been wanting. At that time, it was the 11th time I'd gone to see Sleep No More. And I'm like, man, I'm like, and I spent that hour and a bit like just upset with myself.
Just the rest of the show, you're just pissed.
So I was so pissed off at myself. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make this a lesson. I'm going to learn from this experience. I'm going to be bold.
I'm going to be bold
from here on out.
Strife no more.
And then when I found a little bit of peace with that, because I'm like, I got to let this go. Because this is like, I paid a lot of money to be here. I'm just walking around upset with everything, you know. So much. And then I'm on the fifth floor and I somehow just turn the corner and I look down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, there's someone sitting. There's no chairs. There's someone sitting on something. And as I'm walking forward, I'm like, that person is wearing a mask. It's meaning it's going to be one of the actors. And I'm like, that's a black dress. She's wearing a black dress. And she has a suitcase. She's sitting on luggage. No one else was around. And I went right up to her. And then she's like, I've been expecting you. Or like, I was waiting for you. I was hoping you'd come to grab my hand, grab me up to the sixth floor. And I got to say, like, just what a weird emotional shift
that
was for me. Because I spent an hour and a half of like, you know, you got to be cool. What's wrong with you? Da, da, da.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh my God, this is happening.
Yeah. That catharsis.
The very final thing about that was that when the whole sixth floor experience was done, he opens the stairway door and then closed it. So I'm alone in the stairwell. And again, that idea of like, I'm going to be bold. And I'm supposed to go back down to the fifth floor to continue the show. But there are stairs going up. And I'm like, I'm going to go up to the seventh floor now. So I actually went up to the seventh floor, found myself on the rooftop patio of Gallows Green, I think it's called, like this rooftop bar on the roof of, of the show. And this is the matinee show. So I got my Sleep No More mask on and I'm just looking around the skyline of New York City. And then not even like 2 minutes later, I hear like someone like coming up and a radio being like, oh, there's a patron on the roof. Like, sorry, you're not allowed up here. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. Yeah, but I'm like,
1 second ago, you taught me to be bold. And now I make it to the roof and
immediately censored. Sort of,
okay. I meant to be bold.
I'm not coming off of this roof. This is where I was meant to be.
It was quite an emotional afternoon.
Yeah.
That's incredible, Ken.
Like, you broke Sleep No More.
I broke it, man.
Baby. And you said you're going back.
I am going to go back.
Piece to resistance for you, or are you just there to experience it?
I mean, part of it, it's kind of funny, too, because now I'm like, it's supposed to be like final extended run.
Yeah.
The end of January. It's never going to happen ever again kind of thing. I'm like, well, I got to go. I got to say bye to this beautiful show that has meant so much to me. And then they're like, oh, did we say the end of January? We actually meant the end of February.
it's making a lot of money right now.
The end of March. And I'm like, my birthday's at the end of March. I'm like, I'll go for my birthday.
Yeah.
Now it's extended till the end of April. Like, man,
it's never going to end.
I know, exactly.
It's never going to end.
I paid a fortune. I'm like,
Well, that's really cool, man. I'm glad. That's funny. Yeah.
Thank you.
I've gained a new appreciation for Sleep No More.
Yeah. That, you know,
for me, I'm so, if I'm go to a show, like a traditional like Broadway show or something, or a play or something like that, I'm so aware. I'm just sitting in an audience with, people like right beside me. And I'm like, I don't feel connected.
It's hard to immerse
that.
Yourself and suspend your disbelief in the same way.
Exactly. Yeah. And so for me, I love horror movies and books and things like that. So for me, I'm like, there is nothing quite like that experience, because it's such a grand scale and sound design and everything. Like, there's so much attention to detail, and it's the fact that it's so big and you have like the one-on-ones.
100 rooms, right? Like, exactly. What? You know, I have a bit of a little pipe dream of having a immersive horror experience in the city here. I want to make like a, not a haunted house per se, but like, immersive experience that's a little, maybe not explicitly horror, but like a little weird. And you know, that's one, my reason I want to go to Vegas is to check out a place called Omega Mart, which is like this like weird immersive experience where like, it seems like it's like a weird art place that like you go in and it's a big supermarket, but then there's like a whole underneath portion that's really weird and unusual. Carrie, previous guest of the show, has actually been there. Carrie, you met Carrie when she was in Winnipeg, but
she just went there.
It's super cool. I love immersive experiences.
For me, I'm thinking of like even like as a kid going into like haunted houses, I was like, oh my god, it's like there's such an intense fear. And even as an adult, like going to Niagara Falls, I don't know if you guys have gone to Niagara Falls, they've got like 4 or 5 haunted houses that you just walk through. Some are not very good, but some are like pretty decent. And I still have that weird childlike fear of like, it's all, I'm like, rationally as an adult, I'm like, these are actors. I'm in Niagara Falls.
Right.
If this was real, it would be like shut down in one person went missing in Niagara Falls. Like, it'd be so shut, you know, like, but it's still amazing of how it like, oh gosh, like, you know, when things are dark around you. And how powerful the mind or imagination is, and to like have those intense feelings.
Former guest of the show, Ella, talked about she worked in some haunted houses.
That's right.
It turns out the danger is entirely towards the staff.
Absolutely.
It turns out they're unsafe. They're not treated very well.
Pick her up and carry her out of the haunted house when she was a ghoul.
Well, that was like, Wayne. Yeah. That was Wayne again, though.
The spin roasting.
That was sort of that was once again. He kind of came back.
Like that might be a place to stop. I mean, Ken, like moral of your story. Yeah, you should have taken up a bit more space this episode. I feel like Kevin and I got too much chances
to
speak.
Gotta be bold.
Nobody wanted to hear from us. So
the 12 rules for Strife. Well, clearly the internet didn't want to hear from me.
Next time you come on, you can not even let us get a word in.
I'll have you do an hour-long monologue next time. Come on.
Sleep No More blog post.
Ken, is there anything you want to point people to? This is going to come out in a couple weeks, so this will probably drop in the middle of March, early March.
Well, if people are in Ottawa, and mid-March, there's the Ottawa Improv Festival. It's the first one back from the pandemic. And me and my comedy partner, Isaac, are headlining. So we're going to be doing our stuff, our Clamprov stuff. And also Becky Johnson and Joe Bernard are also the other two headliners. So
wicked.
They're going to be doing individual things, but we're also going to be doing a couple of shows together as part of the Improv Festival. And people are in Ottawa or close by, come and check out the Ottawa Improv Festival.
Wicked. Cool stuff. Check that out. Check out, if this is mid-March, that means Club Soda's 7th anniversary show is going on at the Gas Station Arts Center on March 16th. If you're in Winnipeg, come see me in the flesh and the other funny folks, many of which have guested on this show. In fact, I think all of which at this point have guested on this show. Check out our other show, What We Do in the Basement. Ken, I know your phone's nearby. Would you be able to grab it and open up the podcast application? If this ruins your recording, so be it. But in the podcast application, if you could search, and folks, you can do this at home. You can be just like Ken Hall. You can be just like a graduate of the Umbrella Academy, the Umbrella aficionado himself, the Davek connoisseur. The funniest man in the world, Ken Hall. You can be just like him. Open up your phone, go to the podcast app, search Oops All Segments, find the podcast, and rate it 5 stars. Oops All Segments. I do like that you don't know the name of the show that you are on, and we
sorry,
are closing
you guys spelling
it out.
For me here, guys.
Oh man, and you can be just like Ken. You know what more could you want? Thomas, is there anything that you need to send people towards? Is there people that can see your sickly, weak, frail frame sort of trying its best to sort of make its way through this cold, desolate world?
Just, check out Dr. Scholl's, if you have collapsed arches like me, it might help.
That's right. It's astonishing how much better my internet connection was after I restarted.
You know what? Actually, I just got hilarious news, like this moment that I'm going to share.
Yeah.
In the Chicago Reader Best of Chicago 2023 poll, which is entirely user voted and everything, best theater production, Spider-Man, a Spider-Man parody from the Annoyance Theater.
Holy shit! Wow. So,
I'm so sorry, Ken. Just blew Ken's eardrums for the end.
I play drums in a punk band for something. My ears are blown. That was very loud.
I'm so sorry
to do that. But okay, congrats to all the people involved in that show.
Yeah. That's amazing. Are you in that show, Thomas?
I was. It was last year. My girlfriend and I did it. It was a fun little.
You played Peter Parker, right? Yeah. I mean,
I was Peter Parker, but I did not become Spider-Man because it is about if Uncle Ben became Spider-Man.
That's awesome.
Really?
That's awesome. Congratulations to the cast and crew of Spider-Ben. And congratulations to you listeners for making it through this episode. Congratulations of all to Ken Hall, the funniest man in the world.
His words, not ours.
Not ours. Have a good one, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks, guys.